Welcome to Astrological Metaphysical Radio. And we are continuing with analyzation of the astrology chart today as we look further at the wheel. And the title of today's topic is called Planetary Lords Cross Connect. Okay, and we are going to try to cross connect the planetary lords and take a look at our 12 houses and see if we can find out exactly where we are coming from. So, it's really good information for you in today's astrology hour. How is your life doing? Are you happy? I hope you are. Are you blissful? I hope you are. Don't be depressed. No, don't be bad. Don't be sad. All right. Now, a couple things we have to do. First of all, grab your astroscopes. Get them out in front of you. Actually, what we need to do for this topic is hopefully have a chart in front of us. If we don't have a chart in front of us, then you'll have to use your imagination. Yesterday's show, I think, was one of the better shows I have ever done. I liked it. I liked the way we defined and designed and analyzed the 12 energies, the 12 vibrations of the zodiac in our charts. So we found out where we were a Leo and where we were a Virgo and where we were a Libra and how we really do have all 12 signs inside of us. So that's very important. But number two, we also found out where the 12 houses are. That's right. I was able to show you how to number your 12 houses, and I was able to discuss how you literally reflect a certain vibration depending what sign is on the cusp of a particular house, like Sag rising. If you're Sag rising, that puts the second sign after Sag, which is Capricorn, on the second house cusp, which means all Sag risings are going to view second house matters, money matters, in a Capricorn sort of way. That's why most Sag rising people are very successful in career. And that's why they make lots of money, because they have Capricorn, the success factor, on their second house cusp. And depending what your rising sign is, you could literally put any sign on any cusp and figure that out. If you heard yesterday's show, and if you didn't, I'm real sorry for you. Anyway, now also, another reminder here is that because we have very few people that are 0 degree risings, very few, it's like rare, I'd say it's like 1 in 1,000 of that, then what we are typically dealing with when we look at a chart is a combination of energies in any one particular house. Like if you take somebody, like for example, who is a Sag rising at 11 degrees, like Monica's Sag rising, I think at 10 or 11, something like that, my pal. And because the rising sign starts almost in the middle of a sign or after it begins, then what we do is we combine two zodiac energies into each house. So going beyond yesterday's topic, for example, I'm Libra rising at 20 degrees, as we all know. We're all fully aware of that. That means that my personality, my appearance, my identity, and how the world sees me is a combination of Libran energy starting at Libra 20. But because my first house includes actually the first 20 degrees of Scorpio also, because my first house goes from Libra 20 to Scorpio 20, we combine Libra plus Scorpio energy to really find out about my personality, which is communicative and congenial and harmonious and charismatic from the Libra, and very intense and sexy, sometimes sexual or sometimes very metaphysical from the Scorpio. And that's why Libra risings are naturally charismatic and metaphysical from the Libra-Scorpio combination. Going around my wheel, we look at my money house, my second house, which begins at 20 Scorpio, because my first house begins at 20 Libra, my second house begins at 20 Scorpio, and how Farley handles money is defined by a combination of that last 10 degrees of Scorpio from 20 to 29, and then the first 20 degrees of Sag, because 0 Sag is in my second house and continues to 20 Sag, so my money matters are handled in a Scorpio-Sagittarius manner, which means I like to spend money traveling or get deals traveling. That's the Sagittarius energy, the travel bug. I also am very philanthropical. I give money away to charities and to the homeless and such from the Sagittarius effect. I'm a good businessman from the Scorpio energy in that second house. So when you look at any one house, unless you are a 0 degree rising, you will find a combination of energies in that house, depending what your rising is. Like, we have the Pisces risings. Let's say somebody's Pisces 29 degrees rising. Well, they only have 1 degree of rising in Pisces in their rising house, because the rest of the house is the first 29 degrees of Aries, right? That's pretty weird. Yeah, people with late rising signs are very strange. That's right. Because even though the cusp sign dominates and somebody is a 29 Pisces rising, they still will have a tremendous amount of energy injected into their personalities from the majority of that house being filled with Aryan energy, Aries energy. Like somebody 29 Scorpio rising would still be passionate and intense just like Scorpios, but the optimism and the enthusiasm and the congeniality of Sagittarius would be also injected strongly into that house. So we do take into account, number one, the sign on the cusp of a house rules it and also overwhelms the rest of the energy. However, number two, whatever other sign is included in that house is added to it and correlated with it in like a fluidity of sorts, a combination of energies. And if you have planets in that house, no matter what sign it's in, then that will also add to the emphasis and the karma to be experienced in that particular house. So there's a little continuation of finishing of yesterday's topic on the 12 wheels of life, the 12 rising signs and the 12 house setups. Now, when we take a look at what's going on in a house, and remember, when we are analyzing an astrology chart, or the chart of the birth of any being, any baby, any animal, any incident, any idea on this earth, when we look at a chart, what we are looking at an essence vibration of the entity as far as vehicle is concerned. I want that to be defined. Vehicle. That means how we are going to drive. What type of car? What type of shell are we occupying? How is this shell being charged? So when you analyze things like the 12 houses of life and what signs are on the 12 houses of life and what energies are combined in those houses and what planets are combined with those energies, you are really defining the uniqueness that a person has designed for this life cycle depending when they were born and what house setup they receive. So when we analyze this stuff, what I'm trying to teach you is how to design and understand the uniqueness. Because see, the whole purpose of the astrological setup is, metaphysically speaking, helps us disseminate the illusion of separation. See, because when we're born, astrologically speaking, we are bombarded as babies with some very complicated universal cosmic forces that are constantly changing every second and never the same for millions of years. It takes millions of years for the planets to come back in the same sequence they are for you. So the potential of uniqueness factors is vast. It is vast, and it is very, very interesting in trying to understand an individual. It's like trying to understand what planet they're from by analyzing their chart. Now, you must know the planetary rulerships, the planetary lords, in order to cross-connect two houses and understand what is going on with an individual concerning a certain house. In case there are no planets in it, then we always focus on one particular planet that relates to that particular house. And you won't be able to find that strong planet connected to a particular house unless you have your planetary rulers memorized. So as part of today's topic, either write this down or record the show, but somehow memorize these planetary rulerships, because you're just not going to go too far in astrology unless you get this very critical, significant principle down. So let's grab your pens and write down these rulers. These are the modern rulers of each and every one of the signs. And like I say, if you're analyzing Virgo, let's say you are a Gemini rising, and that would give you Virgo on the fourth house cusp of your residence. Once again, as far as how a Gemini rising lives in their home, they're like a Virgo. And you can look further to see how this Gemini rising lives in their home, in their Virgoan manner, by finding the Lord of Virgo. Now, if you don't know what the Lord of Virgo is, then you're not going to be able to figure out what's going on in the home. Let's look. The Lord of Virgo is Mercury. So let's say you're a Gemini rising with Virgo on the fourth house of your home, so you live like a Virgo, and Mercury is the Lord of Virgo. And Mercury is in the 10th house in your chart, the house of career. Now, we're cross-connecting principles in the chart. Now, because you have the fourth house Lord, the home Lord, in the house of career, what does that tell you? You probably work out of your home. Or you do a lot of career activities, which means homework, career analyzation. You could be a therapist. You might have a business in your home. But One thing for sure, because Mercury means communication, right? Because you already have the sign of work, Virgo, on the fourth house cusp anyway. So most Gemini risings would normally adapt to work. It would make sense you would have an entire communication system, meaning probably phone bank and or one or more computers, plus printers and typewriters in your home to help you further your career. With Mercury in the 10th, Lord of Virgo, cross-connected to the fourth house of your home because you're Gemini rising. Now, what happens when that Mercury is being transited? When your fourth house Lord, Mercury, which rules career energies and what you do in the home, is being squared or opposed by a transiting planet, look out, because that means you're having karma in the home with your career, surrounded by communications and getting things done, possible follow-ups with the computer or the phone bank. See what I mean? And on the other hand, if you're having a trine transit or a sextile transit to that Mercury Lord of Virgo and your Gemini rising, then that's good. That shows career surge, free flow, energy. That shows potential. That shows money, power, innovation, creativity. See what I mean? So when you know the lords of the signs, and you can connect them to a particular house in your chart, and now not only do you know a planet is being transited, and you can read about it in your transit forecast, but because you know what house and sign that planet controls, you can cross-connect and go, wow, there's something going on here in my life that's really critical. Let's take a look at my chart for a second. Venus is my lord of Libra, like all of us, right? Venus is my chart ruler because I'm Libra rising. The planetary lord of your rising sign is the most important planet in the chart, called chart ruler. And because it is a chart ruler, it controls everything that goes on in my life and focuses on my first house matters. Appearance, my body, my face, my personality, how people view me in society and in the world. I'm having a transit. Uranus in Capricorn has been opposition my Venus in Cancer at 5 degrees for quite some time. And I already have Venus in the 9th house of philosophy and freedom, and with that Uranus opposition, I have not been able to get away. Notice I haven't taken many vacations lately because it just hasn't been possible. So my freedom is restricted here. I haven't been able to leave Los Angeles. That's number one. But number two, because Venus rules my appearance, do you know what just happened recently when the peak of the transit happened? I finally shaved my beard and mustache, which I had had for years, almost a decade. And everyone that knows and loves me goes, wow, Farley, you have really made a big appearance change here. You're real different. And I see myself different, and everyone I know and love sees me different. And notice that there's not really anything intense going on in my first house, but my chart ruler Venus, which is in control of my personality and appearance factors, being opposed by Uranus, a planet of sudden changes, wham, there goes the beard and the mustache, and life will never be the same. And I wasn't aware of that transit until now. I just thought of it. And people just calling, please hang on, stand by, and Mark will be with you in a moment. So, of course, this topic may be something that you will have to either transpose and type out or definitely record or even order to understand. But if you can get this planetary lord topic down with cross-connecting, which I'll give you a few more examples, then you'll be able to really nitpick on understanding why you are the way you are, and also being able to handle your deepest, darkest transits and see why they cross-connect to a particular house. Now, Venus, let's see. Let's get really fun here. My son is in Leo in the 10th house, and it is planetary lord of Leo, which is on my 11th house cusp, which means usually people I work with are 11th house matter people. In career, 11th house is the friends and goals. So people I've worked with, like Mark and Jim and Tom and Monica and Marilyn, are always my friends. I cannot work in an environment unless I'm working with people that will be nice to me and friendly to me. Otherwise, I'm gone. See? And notice, my 11th house lord, because I'm Libra rising, Leo falls in the 11th house. My son is in the 10th. So the sun being lord of Leo, my 11th house, my friend house, is in the 10th house, which means my career must be friendly. And notice, am I your friend or not? You listen to the show and it's like, Farley's your pal. So I totally adhere to the lord of my 11th being in my 10th house, once again cross-connecting and combining this energy. Some of you might hear this show who are just getting into astrology, and I feel your energy. Don't be blown away by this, because this show is designed to allow people to rebirth and grow and be strong using astrology and metaphysics. And trust me, we've all been in a place where we've been lost. This show is specifically for my members that have been dedicated and listening a long time and have earned the right to hear this advanced topic. So if you're a new listener and you are lucky enough to record this show, one day you'll listen to it and a light bulb will appear over your head and you'll go, ah, I know now, Farley. But anyway, now let's give you the planetary rulers while I'm sitting here so you can write them down and memorize them. First of all, Aries has a planetary ruler, Mars. Now, where's Farley's Aries? Oh, well, it's very simple. It's on my descendant. It's the cusp of my seventh house. So when it comes to relationships, I'm very Aries, which means I'm energetic, I'm enthusiastic, I'm childlike, and I'm interested in where I stand, the Aries, the self factor. Now, we cross-connect to the planetary lord in Aries. We find my planetary lord, Mars, is in my 12th house in Libra, and it's beautifully aspected. It's got 3-4 sextiles on it, no squares, no oppositions, which means I'm basically good in relationships and commitment, although I can be a little mysterious from the 12th house effect of Mars, and I can get myself in trouble by getting into the wrong kind of relationships with Mars in the 12th. I may get a little obsessed in my past. I've grown out of that, thank God. But I have Mars in Libra, so I'm a natural marriage counselor. And I can serve as same in my own relationships, which I do. See? Let's see. If I was Libra rising and I had Mars in Cancer, the lord of my seventh house in Cancer, it's in fall, which means when it comes to relationships, I'm very Cancerian. I'm moody. I'm confused. I'm sometimes uncentered. Sometimes I'm trying to play out two or more at a time because I'm too sensitive. And sometimes I love hate some people and sometimes I love hate others. And I might have that Mars trine a couple planets, which will make me real charismatic and attract a lot of people to me. See? So depending where your planetary lord is, will tell you exactly what's going on concerning that Aries house, depending where Aries falls in your chart. See how you cross-connect? Now, the lords of Taurus and Libra, Venus is a very important planet. It is so important that it rules two signs. So whenever you cross-connect to Taurus or Libra in your chart, look to Venus. That's the ruler of both signs. Same with Mercury. Even though it's small, it's fast and it's quick and it's powerful. And Mercury rules two signs also, Gemini and Virgo. So whenever we want to find out what's going on with Gemini and Virgo in our charts, we look to Mercury in the chart, where it is, and cross-connect it. And then the moon is a biggie, because that rules Cancer, that's Lord of Cancer. The sun is major, because that's our star, and that rules Leo. That's why Leos help us validate and verify astrology's real, how enthusiastic and gregarious we can be. And also, Pluto is the planetary lord for Scorpio, Mickey's dog, you know, hello, Pluto. And also, Jupiter is the lord of Sagittarius, planetary ruler for Sag. And Saturn is the planetary ruler for Capricorn. And then Uranus is the planetary ruler for Aquarius. And finally, Neptune is the planetary ruler for Pisces. See, so if you had your lords memorized like I do, then you could cross-connect whenever you want to find out what is going on in a particular house. Now, one of my houses is I'm Libra rising, and I have Capricorn on the fourth house cusp. And so I have the sign of career on my home house. The fourth house is the home. So Libra risings naturally develop careers in their homes. It's normal to develop a career in your house if you're Libra rising. In fact, if you're Libra rising and you don't have a business in your home, as a write-off or whatever, you're blowing a tax write-off there. So that's my advice, number one. Number two, because Saturn is the lord of Capricorn, that means that Saturn being the planet of karma, this is where a big area of karma is for me, running my career out of my home. And it has been, running the career out of my home and managing it and organizing it and structuring it as a business and being able to live there and have my life going on without feeling like the whole thing is interfering in my life and such has been one of the biggest challenges of my life. And also, we cross-connect. Where's that fourth house Lord at? Where's Saturn at? Well, it's in Leo, in my 11th house. So my major lesson in life, my major karma in life, has been connected with all the above 11th house matters, which are goals in my life and my friends, connected to career in my home and where I live, my residence, or lack of what I'd really love as a proper residence. Because at my age, you think I'd be living in a castle now, but I don't. I still live in the same place I've lived for 12 years because I'm such a Capricorn in residence that I like to save money. And you can't beat the rent for where I live. I'm paying under $600 a month rent for business and personal use in a nice loft in West LA. So why move? Because of rent control, everybody else is paying $700-$800 for the same apartment. So that place is just being filled up with all this stuff I keep dragging in like the cat does. Okay, now, so we've given you the Lords. Now, when you take a look at any chart and you want to find out what is going on in a house, you analyze the placement of the planetary ruler of the sign on the cusp of that house. Let me say it again. You find the sign on any house cusp that you want to analyze. Like if you're Pisces rising and you want to analyze your 10th house of career, then you go all the way over, 10 signs over, up to, would that be Virgo? No, Gemini, no, Sag. Sagittarius. And Pisces rising would have Sagittarius on the midheaven on the 10th house cusp. Now let's say you have no planets in that 10th house. Well, then you look to the Lord to find out what's going on with 10th house matters, career. And Jupiter, like I said, is ruler of Sag. So we find Jupiter in this chart of this Pisces rising, and we find out that Jupiter is in Gemini in this chart. And because they are Pisces rising, we also find that Jupiter is in the third house in Gemini. So we find out that this person with Jupiter in Gemini, the Lord of their career house, needs to be in a career that is Gemini communication, Jupiter freedom, fun from Jupiter and the Sagittarius effect. Also can be mentally involved as far as communications, like telephones, computers. And because Gemini's there, psychology, therapy, human relations. See what I mean? Now, if we want to know what's going on in this person's career, then we observe the transit to that planet. If this person's going through a trine to their Jupiter, then that means something good's happening in their career. But if they're going through squares and oppositions to that Jupiter, we're showing job changes, layoffs, being fired, or some kind of complications, or rebirth shown. So you can find out what's going on in a house with no planets in it by finding the ruler of that sign and seeing what's going on, where it's located, and cross-connect it. I don't like to do these type of complicated topics unless it's making sense. Is it making any sense? Okay. Because if it's not, then forget it. I'll do Mickey Mouse topics again. No, I'm just kidding. And also, you can really do this all day long. You can sit there and find any rising sign, and as long as you know the Lord of the Zodiac sign, then you'll be able to find out where they are and what they're doing to your chart and how you can understand the uniqueness of any person, number one, in their natal cosmic circuit effect or their natal reflection of self. And the best part is, by following the transits to your Lords, you can understand a lot easier what's going on in your life. So it does tend to help really explain astrology, and it also puts a focus and a significance on each and every sign, each and every house in your chart, which in a way sort of restores the oneness we all share. Because we are all 12 signs of the zodiac. We're just all 12 signs mixed up in the blender in a different sort of way.